You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Sunday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:20pm with Mick Norton, John Budden and Will Smith in the studio. Good Sunday to look forward to as well, with jumps meetings at Sandown and Fosslast on the domestic front. Two good cards over in Ireland as well from Cork and Nace. And joining me, Mark Walton, in the studio to look ahead to some of the action is Rory Delaghi. How are you, Rory?
I'm not at all bad, thank you.
Good man. We're going to look at some of the racing from Sandown, Fosslast and Cork in just a moment or two. Before we move on to Sunday's action, though, just a little bit of a look back at the best of Saturday's racing. We'll start at Doncaster, Rory, and the big flat finale, if you like, the November handicap went the way of Prize Money, who beat Eric the Red and Cape Cover. I suppose right kind of horses in the right places, and it was quite a nice performance, really, from Prize Money.
Yeah, helped enormously by the fact that I think the race became a test of speed, whereas, you know, the November handicap often a race for stayers, and Cape Cova, who was third, the favourite, would have, you know, it's a horse who stays a mile and six and would have been prepared for this as if it was the usual test of stamina, and John Gosden does tremendously well in it. But first of all, we had a quick grind, and then we had no real pace on, which made it look very messy. There were traffic problems for some, and those with the turn of foot came to the fore in the end. Prize Money and Eric the Red, essentially a mile and a quarter performers, and they had more tactical speed than the others. So it was a very good effort from Kip Cove to finish third. The horse who stays a mile and six well. And if you wanted to take one out of the race, it would be him. But you've got to give full credit to Prize Money, who had been running in group class races early in the season, running in the Gordon Stakes, the Barrion Trophy at Newmarket, and he's got plenty of class. But although he had raced over a mile and four, a mile and five, his very best efforts have been at shorter, and he was well suited by the way the race was run.
Yeah, so Prize Money wins the November handicap then. Anything else stand out to you at Doncaster?
Carnacki was quite impressive in the Gillies Filly Stakes. She's a very likable filly, but I guess that's not a result that will live long in the memory for some, but her connections will be delighted with that. She showed a sharp turn of foot to come from the back of the field to win.
Big day at Down Royal on Saturday as well. They had the Jane Wine Champion Chase, which is a grade one, a real good grade one as well. And they also had the grade two Titanic Belfast Chase. Both races won by... the winners trained by Henry de Bromhead. He had Valsalido win the Champion Chase, and the Titanic Belfast Chase went the way of Sub-Lieutenant. So good day for the trainer, inheriting those horses as well.
Exactly. It's been swings and roundabouts for a few trainers in the last couple of months, obviously. First of all, Henry de Bromhead, rather harshly, in most people's view, lost the Anne and Alan Potts horses. Those now with Colin Tizard, so good news for Colin. But his loss there was quickly made up for the shift of 60 horses from Willie Mullins in the Jiggenstein colours. A lot of those obviously went to Gordon Elliott, but Henry de Bromhead got his share as well, and he's really hit the ground running. Valsalido, very impressive in the JM Wine Champion Chase. Whether he's an improved performer, I think, is very much open to debate. Don Pauly ran no race at all there, for example. Siviriaco Conti has run his race but isn't the force of old. And Ruby Walsh, when he got off Valsalido, said, you know, he jumped really well and he travelled well, but he's done nothing that he hasn't done before. So people are queuing up to back him for the King George in the back of that. But a year ago, he went off at a massive price. Yeah. For the King George, and although people know his quality now, I don't think he's actually improved as such, but it was certainly a very likeable performance in the way he travelled and jumped, and he'll clearly win his share, but I don't think he's a King George winner in the waiting.
No, visually impressive, like you mentioned, though. Valsalido, what did you make of Sub-Lieutenant? Can he go on from that now?
Yeah, I mean, that was a very impressive performance from Sub-Lieutenant in the end, and he looks a Ryanair horse, I suppose. The great thing about Henry de Bromhead as a trainer is that his horses all seem to jump really well. However it is he goes about schooling them from a very early stage. Horses he's had as bumper horses just take the fences naturally, and these horses he's picked up as well jump really well. And a sub-lieutenant again should pick up his fair share of graded races this season, and that's all part of Henry de Bromhead, who's one of the nicest guys in the sports and deserves to get decent winners. So really good day for him.
Yeah, just finally touching on Wing Canton as well, they had two grade twos on their card, the Rising Stars Novices Chase, which went the way of Frode on only three runners in that race, so field kind of cut up a little bit. The Elite Hurdle went the way of So Royale, 4-6 favourite, and confirmed those odds in that race. And the Badger Isles Trophy, a listed handicap chase, another big winner for the Tizzards, Gentleman John the winner there. So what stood out to you at Wincanton?
Well, the interesting thing about those three races is there were last fence or last flight fallers who were challenging in each of the three, probably getting the worst of the argument every time. Frodon was idling in front coming to the last, and Shantou Village was trying to re-challenge when he came down. So Royal was just getting the better of a battle with Zubair when Zubair came down, and again Paul Nichols was on the wrong side of that when Southfield Theatre came down in the last, when again, well, he might have got the better of Gentleman John. That was up for grabs a little bit, but the winner deserved that. Again, Frodon probably goes for the Bet Victor Gold Cup at Cheltenham next weekend if he comes out of that race okay.
Yeah.
I think they were keen to get him up the handicap, and he's obviously done the business there. Difficult race to rate because he effectively finished alone there, but still it looked a strong race on paper, and he deserves full credit for doing that, and the handicapper will at least raise him in the weights for it. So Royal was really impressive at Cheltenham last time and backed up that impression. His issue last season was he was very impressive before Christmas and then didn't go on. He was disappointing in the Triumph Hurdle, but maybe he's a different horse this year. And we saw with Old Guard last year, a horse who started off promisingly as a juvenile and lost his way.
Yeah.
He came out and won the Great Britain and won the International Hurdle. So it could well be that So Royal, he may well be going for the Great Wood himself. I'm not entirely sure whether that is the plan. And you know, he might be stepping up to the International next month. So exciting times for a horse like him.
Yeah. Anything we've missed there, Rory?
Yeah, the only other thing to say is we had another a second win in the week, and a second win from his mini rides from young Angus Chileda for Colin Tizzard. He rode a very tricky horse to win midweek, a horse that other top jockeys have struggled to get any kind of tune out of, who's won very well at Chepstow. And again, he was seen to good effect when winning the handicap hurdle here with On Demand, although was rather gifted a lead at the start and had another one who had a fright at the last hurdle, was really rather dived at it. But still, to start your career with two winners from your first two rides is pretty impressive. And it's been a red letter week for young Angus Chileda.
Yeah, a 100% strike rate. Not many jockeys have that. Right, good stuff. Well, let's leave that there. Let's move on to Sunday's racing. We're going to get Rory's thoughts in four races on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
On to Sunday's racing then. We're going to start at Sandown Park in their 2:15. The Future Stars Intermediate Chase, a listed race over 3 miles for four-year-olds and older. Unfortunately, only four of them in the lineup here, Rory, but some nice enough horses in there, Vivaldi Collonge and the like. What do you make of it?
Yeah, Vivaldi Collonge would probably want a slightly stiffer test, but he's the clear pick on the ratings. He would be giving weight to the others in a handicap, and yet he actually gets weight from Voido here and is competing at level weights with Ballyboley. Amoria Lato is the one who's getting weight all round, and he'd be a very interesting one here, Amoria Lato, if it was a slowly run race, because he was fully effective at 2 miles, and he surely stayed a little bit further last season. He wouldn't be a thorough stayer at three, but in a four-runner race it could turn messy, and he could pick up the pieces in that regard. But as long as Sean Bowen can ensure this is a test of stamina on board Vivaldi Collonge, who will stay, I mean, he'll be some kind of national horse, maybe a Scottish national horse, at the end of this season. So he doesn't want the others to do him for tow. So I think it'll be up to Sean to press on, use his jumping and tried to make it a test of stamina. Ballyball is one of his last two, but they've been weak enough races, to be perfectly honest, and he needs to improve. And Voideau was put in his place in the handicap last week in Ascot, so he looks a little bit high on the weights in that regard, and obviously he'd still be getting weight in a handicap from the favourites. So it's Vivaldi Colonges to lose.
Okay, Vivaldi Colonges to lose then, the 215 at Sandown. The 250 at Sandown is where we go next. This is a Class 3 handicap hurdle over just short of 2 miles. We've got eight of them in the lineup, and we'll start with Royal Irish Hussar, Rory, who I imagine will be somewhere near the top end of the market for Nicky Henderson, and David Bass in the plate.
Yeah, he's not been pulling up any trees of late, Royal Irish Hussar, but he does have plenty of class. And this time a year ago, he was running off marks in the high 130s. This is a bad race for Sandown. It really is. If you told me this was at Plumpton, I wouldn't be at all surprised. And that means that Royal Irish Hussar must have a decent chance of a mark of 128 in a race that looks fairly weak for the grade anyway. He was back to form when second to call up here at Plumpton last time out. And although he wouldn't be the type you'd want to back in a strong handicap hurdle, he might just outclass these.
Okay, on to the third race we look at, which is the 3 or 5 at Foslas. This is a Class 3 handicap hurdle over nearly 3 miles. We've got 9 of them in the lineup here. Rory, who do you like in this field?
I think the top eight is going to take all the beating here, Herbert Park. He met a horse that I'm very, very sweet on this season at Worcester last time out, and found plenty for pressure to win that contest. He's gone up £6 for it, but it does look strong for him. As I said, the runner-up Western Cape as a horse, I think, is very much going places. He cruised through the race and threw down what looked a very strong challenge, what looked like it was going to be a winning challenge for a long way, but Herbert Park found plenty for pressure, and they pulled 10 lengths clear of the field in what looked a very competitive race for the track. And I don't think the rise in the weights will stop him, because, again, this would look a different race if it was on very soft ground. A lot of those, Bob Ford, for example, who either wins or doesn't finish more often than he wins. Yeah. He, of course, did win that infamous West Wales Grand National a couple of seasons ago, where nothing else finished. And he was legless at the end of it as well. It seems to have left its mark on him, but he tends to give his running at Foslas when the ground's very deep. It's going to be, they've been watering, it's going to be very quick ground, and that won't suit him at all. And there's a couple of others in there who would want plenty of cut on the ground. Ballypoint, I suppose, is going to be, potentially could be favourite for this, for Nigel Twiston Davis. Only a 5-year-old, and he won a novice hurdle here last season, but he was 1-4 for that, and it's not particularly strong form, and he's never raced away from very soft ground. So they deliberately kept him on softer, heavy ground so far. So dealing with quick ground is a concern for him.
So sticking with the top weight then, Herbert Park.
Yeah.
Okay, just a quick question, Rory. What do you make of the form of the Pipe Yard? Do you read anything into that? They've been a little bit quiet, haven't they?
They have, yeah. But I wouldn't worry when you've got a horse who's shown its form recently.
Yeah.
You know, unless you think they've suddenly come down with a bug. When horses are struggling to find the form, that's one thing. But although I suppose you could say that Unanimity, for example, was tailed off today at Aintree, having won his previous start, but that was essentially a walkover.
Yeah.
So it's a bit of a concern. But in terms of the horses in that race, I still prefer him. And as I said, I think that his last win is probably undervalued because of where it came, and because people maybe don't realise exactly how good the runner-up is. But I think the runner-up is one of the more exciting young hurdlers slash possible chasers in the country at the moment, and he's very much under the radar.
Okay, good stuff. Let's move on to the final race we look at then, the 3:15 in Cork, which is the Cork Grand National Handicap Chase. It's a Grade B event over 3.5 miles. We've got a field of 16 to go to post here. Rory, usual competitive nature of a national. What do you think comes home in front of here?
Well, the one I didn't like at all was New Kid in Town. He's got no weight on his back, and he's ridden by Ruby Walsh, and he's unexposed as a 7-year-old. I think a lot of people are going to latch onto him. But if this is, I suppose the going's not particularly soft at the moment at Cork, and it might not be an absolute test of stamina, but it's 3.5 miles at a track that's stiff enough, and he doesn't stay. There's nothing in his form that suggests that he's going to be suited by a real test of stamina. He's a free goer whose best form is coming around 2.5 miles. So he might get away from them You might have too much speed for them, in a manner of speaking, but I can't believe this won't be a test of stamina, and that will count against him. It's not that easy to find the obvious one against them. A lot of the... Well, you've got plenty of Jigginstein horses in there. How many? Six of them. And it's difficult to know which one of those is going to put its best foot forward on the day. Wrath of Titans was impressive two starts ago for Lisa O'Neill. It was a big breakthrough win for her, but was disappointing last time, and maybe the handicappers got him. Thunder and Roses, of course, you know, a couple of seasons ago was winning Irish Nationals.
Yeah.
Getting back to last year's Irish National, and a horse at a bigger price, Barely Legal, but for a late mistake there, would have been in the frame in last year's Irish National. And he's not had a huge amount of racing for a horse of his age. He ran pretty well when third in a competitive veterans chase at Aintree last time out. And the return to a longer trip, I think, will suit him. He's going to be certainly a double figure price, 14-16 to 1, and with not much to choose between a few of them and plenty with questions to answer, I think Barely Legal will run a decent race. Another one to have a look at there, very much into the veteran stage now, the oldest horse in the race, Raz de Marie, now with Gavin Cromwell, won this race a few years ago for Desi Hughes, has finally dropped to a lower mark and came back to form when runner-up last time out. So he might be ready to to run very well. And Gavin Cromwell's an underrated trainer, so he's worth a second glance. Normally you expect young, unexposed horses to be winning these races, but it doesn't always work that way. And I've put up a 10 and 11 year old to go well. As you see, Vix Canvas, of course, won it a couple of years ago and went on to run an absolute cracker in the Irish, in the Grand National in April. But mostly it's sort of been 6-7 year olds who've been winning it. But I'm not mad keen on the younger horses in the race this time around, and I think Barely Legal could provide a little bit of value.
Okay, good stuff. Going with the old boys then in the Cork Grand National. Let's just have a little bit of a quick summary as usual then, Rory. Just spin us through and confirm your selections for us for Sunday.
Sure. In the 2:15 at Sandown, Vivaldi Colón should have too much class as long as he makes it a test of stamina. Similarly, Royal Irish Hussar is the class act in the handicap hurdle. That won't take an awful lot of winning. The Countryside Alliance handicap hurdle at Foss Lass at 3:05. I was impressed by Herbert Park's win last time out at Worcester, and I think a repeat of that will win him the race. And the Cork Grand National, which is a very, very trappy contest, I thought Barely Legal would reward each way support.
Superb. Thank you very much, Rory. Good luck and enjoy on Sunday.
Thank you very much indeed.
There you go. The thoughts of Rory Delaghi on Sunday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:20 PM. Mick Norton, John Budden and Will Smith, the team in the studio. Sandown and Foss Lass on the domestic front. Cork and Nace over in Ireland. So plenty to get stuck into. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Sunday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.